Well, Merry Christmas. Can you believe it? Some of you didn't think it was ever going to get here, right? Some of you are like me, and you're like, I hope it will slow down and not be here yet, right? But it's here. Christmas Eve, and I'm so excited. It's one of my favorite days of the year. It's like the Super Bowl if you're a Christian. It's like the Super Bowl and the World Series all tied together, isn't it? I love Christmas. Christmas is good. That's why for the past couple of Sundays here at Elevation Church, we've been talking about the purpose of Christmas. Because Christmas has a purpose. And one of the first things that we discovered very early on, 2 weeks ago, as we first discussed the purpose of Christmas, is this. The purpose of Christmas is not a lot of the things that we sometimes get involved with and make the purpose. We get the priorities out of order sometimes. Like, the purpose of Christmas is not the presents. The purpose of Christmas is not the decorations. The purpose of Christmas is not the parties or the feasts. Here's one that's going to rock somebody's world. The purpose of Christmas is not even family. Some of you are very excited to hear that because your family is already wearing you out and it's only Christmas Eve, right? Yes, you're nodding. I hope they're not sitting next to you right now. If you're visiting from out of town and your host, who is family, is sitting next to you nodding right now, that's a bad sign. I just want to let y'all know that. None of those things are the purpose of Christmas. You know what else is not the purpose of Christmas? Elves on shelves are not the purpose of Christmas. I don't know how many Facebook messages I got about elf on shelf naughtiness this Christmas. The big fat jolly guy in the red suit is not the purpose of Christmas. It's amazing. We get all of these things sometimes out of whack. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with any of those things. In and of themselves, nothing in the world wrong with them. The problem happens when we allow those things to jump to the head of the priority list. When we let them become the purpose of Christmas, they distract us from the true purpose. And the more distracted we are from the true purpose, the farther we seem to slip away from that purpose. And so we've been discovering for the last couple of Sundays that the purpose of Christmas is multifaceted. Now, there's my $5 word for the night. For those of you who didn't know what that meant, like me, because I had to look it up before I used it, I'll just go ahead and confess that. It just has a lot of purposes. It has more than one purpose. Christmas has more than one purpose. We have discovered that, in fact, Christmas has three aspects of its one purpose. It's kind of like God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three. Christmas is kind of like that. Three purposes in one. The first purpose we talked about just two Sundays ago, we found in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Randy read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20 a few minutes ago, the Christmas story. But verse 11, if I can cherry pick that one out right now, says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Did you hear what I said? Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. The purpose, the first purpose of Christmas is celebration. We've got something to celebrate. The angels came and told the shepherds at the first Christmas, there is something, gentlemen, to celebrate. The whole world is going to celebrate. We all need to celebrate. The first purpose of Christmas is celebration. Celebrating the birth of Christ, the Savior who's come, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, our Lord and our Savior. That points to the second purpose, which we talked about yesterday. If the first purpose is celebration, the second purpose of Christmas is salvation. Salvation. Again, Luke 2:11 says that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's also the Savior. He's the Savior. See, God sent Jesus, His Son, to this earth that very first Christmas, wrapped in human flesh, to live a perfect life and die a sacrificial death. And in dying that death and in rising again, Jesus saved us from something. What did he save us from? Jesus saved us from hell. Because we all have a sin situation. Don't raise your hands. This next question is not one that you need to answer out loud. It's just for, you know, your own mind to process. Have you ever sinned? If I have to convince you that the answer is yes, we have a whole bigger problem. Come and see me after we're done here tonight. Because most of us realize, I think probably everybody in this room, if you're honest with yourself, you realize you can't even reach your own imperfect standards. You do stuff all the time that disappoints you. You get disappointed in you. I get disappointed in me. And if I can't reach my standard, imperfect, how in the world can I reach God's perfect standard? See, we all have a sin situation. We're born into sin. Since Adam and Eve, every one of us, born into sin. And sin, the Bible says, separates us from God. It separates us from Him. And God being righteous, God being just, He has to deal with our sin. And the Bible says the penalty for our sin, the punishment, the consequence is death. The wages of sin is death. Now, it's not a physical death. We're all going to die. The best, the worst, every one of us, we're all going to die. What the Bible's talking about when it says the wages of sin is death is a not physical, but spiritual death. It's eternal separation from God. Our sin separates us from God in this life, and our sin, left undealt with, separates us from God eternally. Because every one of us is a soul, which is eternal, with a body, which is temporary. Your body's going to die, but your soul is going to live forever. It's going to live in one of two places. Separated from God, we simply call hell. With God, eternally, we call heaven. Jesus saves us from this hell, from this eternal separation from God. But He also saves us, the Bible says, from hell on earth. Because our sin doesn't just separate us from God forever, it separates us now in this life. Every one of us has faced difficult times, challenges, troubles, living up to unrealistic expectations of others. We've had hurts inflicted upon us. Our hearts have been broken and damaged by people we love and trust and look up to. We've all had hard times. Everybody deals with hell on earth, the consequences of our sin, the consequences sometimes of somebody else's sin. We all got to deal with it. And yet, God sent Jesus to not only save us eternally, but to save us from this hell on earth. We can be saved from hell on earth, and we can be saved from hell eternally by repenting. That just means turning away from your sin. Repent was a military term, means about face. I'd try to perform one up here, but I'm clumsy, and I would end up on the floor. You would all get a good laugh out of it, and that would be okay, but I don't want to fall tonight, so we're not going to do that. But some of you who were in the military, y'all know how to snap off a really crisp about face. That's all repent means. I'm going this way towards my sin. I think I'm going to turn around and go this way, away from my sin and back towards God. We have to repent of our sin and then submit to Jesus as our Savior, as our leader, our Lord. And that saves us from hell on earth, because when you have Jesus in your heart, all of those consequences of sin, all the hurt that somebody else can pile on you, all the negativity and the junk and the bad stuff in life, it just doesn't matter anymore. Because you have confidence in Christ. Confidence in Christ who is in you. Your identity isn't found in what any other man's plans are. Your identity is found in the plans of the Lord, who thought of you and planned for you before the foundations of the earth were ever laid. No man planned for you like that. Only God did. And when you have Jesus in your heart and make Him the Lord, the leader of your life, He will lead you in God's plans. And the plans of man will no longer matter, and the consequences of other people's issues and even your own mistakes, hey, all they are then is just tools to refine who you are in your walk with God. Jesus came to save. The third aspect or facet of the purpose of Christmas is reconciliation. Reconciliation. See, our sin, as I said a moment ago, separates us from God. Separates us. It puts us out of balance. It puts us at odds with the one who created us. In fact, it really puts us at war with him. Your heart, if not yielded to Christ, is in opposition to God. You're at war with God. But God loves us too much. He can't stand the thought of one more day, one more hour, one more moment of you living at odds with him, being outside of his plan, his design, his will, his desires for you. And so God sent the solution to your sin situation. Jesus reconciles us. Check out Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Randy read it a moment ago. Let's reread this. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace. Peace on earth. Peace on earth is part of the purpose of Christmas through reconciliation. Now, Todd, how can you talk about peace? Look at our world. There's all kinds of disarray and disharmony and anger and ill will and just bad stuff. There's wars and fights and there's not a lot of peace in our world, Todd. How could Christmas be about peace? It's about peace because God is the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus came to give us peace. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. See, we can only have peace with God. Be reconciled with God. We can only have peace with one another. Look, there's all, I said a minute, there's conflict all over the place. Our world is full of conflict. But Jesus can reconcile all of that conflict. And God's desire is to reconcile all of that conflict. The conflict between you and your spouse, between you and your children, between your children and you. The conflict with bosses and management and labor. Conflict between religious groups and races and nations. Our great God wants to reconcile these differences. He wants to reconcile us to one another and us to him and him to us. He wants to get things back in balance the way he designed them to be. Because do you know in Genesis, when God created the world and he made Adam and Eve and he put them in the garden, did you know that God walked physically in their presence in the garden? He like hung out with them. That's how the world was supposed to be. That's how it was supposed to go. That's what you and I should have been born into. But they sinned. They broke the covenant with God. They broke his commands. And sin has been a part of our problem ever since. But God doesn't want it that way. So he sent Jesus to save us and to reconcile us. And for those purposes, we celebrate. We celebrate. Those three things, celebration, salvation, and reconciliation, are the purpose of Christmas. So ask yourself tonight, when you go home and you celebrate with family or alone, or tomorrow as you sit by the tree and as gifts are passed and roast beefs are cut and pies are served and Merry Christmases are exchanged, and elves are packed up, fly home for another year. Ask yourself, what am I celebrating? Who am I celebrating? Have I received all the gifts I wanted? Everything that was on my list? But missed out on the greatest gift that's ever been given? Salvation and reconciliation, which can only come through Christ.